nervous about the background of it, about what it's all about, that we don't already know. Anything? I don't think so. And yet, when we talk about importance of what transpired, is there anything any more important than what God did for your soul and mine through the work of His only begotten Son? Anything? I don't think so. If you came this evening looking for something new, you're going to go home greatly disappointed. I'll just tell you that right now. We mentioned this morning, and this is something that we often do in our evening services when we have communion. And those of you that are familiar with the routine around here, the first Sunday of the month is the day that we remember the Lord's table. Odd months, we observe the communion service in the morning. Even months, we observe the Lord's table in the evening. Today is the fourth month, which means it's an even month, and so here we are this evening, and something that we started doing a couple of years ago or so is when we observe the service in the evening, we pretty much dedicate the entire service around the theme of the work of the Lord in our behalf as far as His death, burial, and resurrection, so that you and I would have the opportunity of having everlasting life through faith in Him. Having said that, I want us today, as we look at this, to think of this in Scripture, and we'll see some things that have the Scriptures relate to what this is all about. And I trust it'll be a blessing as we review, remind ourselves of this. With all of that said, if you were here this morning, I didn't have an outline, did I? It was verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. That was a real original outline, wasn't it? Well, we have an outline for you note takers this evening. Having said that, number one, let's put down the prediction. The prediction. And beside that, put Isaiah chapter 53. And let's take our Bibles and turn there. Isaiah chapter 53. What took place, what happened to our Lord, was not an accident. It wasn't something that God lost control of mankind and all of a sudden things were happening to His Son that He never intended. But what Isaiah 53 teaches us that is that this death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord was predicted. It was predicted hundreds of years before it happened. You found Isaiah 53, follow along as I read. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed or appreciated him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. What a statement concerning the Father's assessment of what his Son did for you and for me. He, the Father, shall see of the travail or the suffering of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Yes, the prophet Isaiah predicted what was going to happen to the Son of God hundreds of years before it actually occurred. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 316. Well, we looked at number one, the prediction of something that was going to take place through God's Son, our Savior. Number two, though, I'd like us to think about when it actually happened, the institution of this. And for that, jot down Luke 22, verses 14 through 28. When the Lord actually instituted that which he would one day accomplish for you and me. And in Luke 22, we have Luke's account of our Lord in that upper room with his disciples. Luke 22, we begin at verse 14, and this was the very night that Judas, one of the Lord's disciples, was going to betray him to the Roman soldiers there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before that event occurred, the Lord had what is often referred to as the Last Supper with his disciples. Knowing full well what was coming, because he had come for that purpose, he instituted this which we are observing tonight. In Luke 22:14, when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. In these verses, we find the Lord is indicating from that 22nd verse what the Lord was instituting. He knew had to take place. It was the will of the Father. Truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. This, he was accomplishing the will of his Father as he was there in that upper room with his disciples. He said, it was determined. This is in the plan of God. But woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. Yes, this is all God's plan, what's happening to me. But woe to that man by whose hand this is going to be accomplished. And he was referring, of course, to Judas, who had betrayed him and would later be turning him over to the authorities. As we think of this, we think of that particular evening when our Lord met in that upper room with his disciples. He had waited until the last night to institute what we are observing this evening. How long did he minister with his disciples, give or take? Three and a half years he had ministered with them, and they had labored with him, and he had taught them. But he waited until the final hours, that last night, to introduce this, which we are observing this evening, to his followers. to give significance to the bread on the table. This is my body, which is given for you. Waited until the last hours to give significance to the fruit in the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. I'm doing it for you. Let's once again take our songbooks and turn to number 288. We've seen the prediction of what our Lord was going to do, and then we looked at the institution of it, and how the Lord Jesus had instructed his disciples to do that in remembrance of him. He had taught them that very night before he was betrayed by Judas. Well, then what happened? We know what happened in the next short hours, don't we? Our Lord was turned over to the authorities. Things didn't get out of hand. It was the Father's will that the Son give his life for you and for me. And we know that he was taken. We know that he willingly subjected himself, offered himself to all that happened at the hands of his cruel opposers. He willingly allowed the beating, the spitting in the face, the pulling of his beard, the mockery, the crown of thorns. He allowed them to nail him to the cross. They placed him on the cross, and we know that there were even some of his own that tried to resist. And the Lord indicated that if he wanted to, he could have even what he could have called thousands of angels to deliver him from the hands of his murderers. But that was the plan. And so he allowed himself, and as he hung there on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's how your Savior and mine faced the cross and suffered. He died. They buried him. They tried to keep him in the tomb. Yes, the Roman soldiers, they sealed that tomb, didn't they? But on the third morning, what happened? The stone was rolled away, and our Savior rose again. The Father had accepted the gift of his only Son's life and shed blood for you and for me. And today he lives. He's coming again someday for us. And you know, his followers ever since have been observing what we're going to be observing this evening. We refer to it as the Lord's table or the communion service. We find what perhaps would be the first record of followers observing that very thing after our Lord went to heaven. And for you note takers, number 3 in our outline, we call the implementation. We saw the prediction that our Lord was going to do something in Isaiah 53. We saw the institution of it when the Lord gave it significance in Luke chapter 22. But when did his followers first start observing it? When was it actually implemented among his followers? Acts chapter 2. And we notice at verse 42. Acts chapter 2. We pick up the reading at verse 42. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and in cloven tongues of fire lit upon the disciples, and they each began to speak the gospel in languages that they had never ever known before. There were multitudes of people from every nation in Jerusalem for that observance of the day of Pentecost. That was one of the Jewish holidays, observances. And as the crowds began to listen, these from different languages, they began hearing the gospel in their own language, being spoken by men who had never ever known that language before. You know, there are people that put a lot of emphasis on the, quote, gift of tongues. Beloved, this was the true gift of tongues here on his followers. It was the gift of languages. It wasn't just blabbering something that someone did not know or could not understand. This was why it was given, for the presentation of the gospel. There were several thousand who heard the gospel that day in Acts chapter 2, and they were baptized. And it tells us that following that, beginning at verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And that's what is believed the reference is. What do they mean, this breaking of bread? Does that mean that they just got together for ham sandwiches? That they just got together for a salad or something? No. They got together, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, reviewing the gospel truth that the apostles had shared with them, and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and they had all things common. Sold their possessions, goods, parted them to all men as every man had need, and continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It was at that time, after the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, that the followers of the Lord began to observe and began to remember and do what the Lord had taught them to do with the bread and with the cup. Number 256 in your songbooks. 256. The work of the Lord was predicted. Our Lord instituted it in the final hours before he was betrayed. We saw when the early church actually implemented and started observing this after the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But anytime there's something good, it doesn't take long before what? Pardon? It's tarnished. It's distorted. And there are those that try to turn something good and it becomes something that's not so good. And once again, in our outline, number four, if you're keeping track, we make note of the distortion. The distortion. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 17, we discover it wasn't long until distortion reared its ugly head among the churches of Jesus Christ. And at the church of Corinth, Paul is writing to them, and here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 11:17. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that when you come together, not for the better, but for the worse, he said, I wish I could commend you for the fact that as believers, you're getting yourselves together and fellowshipping together. I said, I wish I could, but I can't. Verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions, there's dissension among you, and he said, I partly believe it. You're not getting along in the Lord like you ought to. He said, there must be also heresies, errors among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. He says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not the Lord's Supper. He said, that's not what's bringing you together. He said, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry. Another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that had not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? Should I say, it's so good to hear that you, the church of Corinth, are continuing to gather together to observe the Lord's table? He said, I'm not about to praise you. Because, he said, you have distorted it. He said, when you come together, you're not coming to observe this in the manner in which our Lord instituted it. But he said, when you're coming together, some of you, you're sitting there and you're feasting your faces on food, and instead of sharing it, you're sitting there gorging yourself, and somebody sitting next to you, they don't have anything to eat. And he said, and there are those of you that you come together not in remembrance of the blood of our Lord that was shed in our behalf, but he said, you're coming together and you're actually doing what? You're getting drunk. He said, shame on you. This which has such a significant attachment to it in its truth. Bread broken, reminding us of the Lord whose body was, oh, they didn't break his bones, but how they abused the body of our Lord. And he said, you're sitting there just gorging yourself, feasting And the cup, which signified him shedding his blood in behalf of your sins and mine. The cup of the New Testament in his blood. He said, for many of you, it's just an occasion to come together to get drunken. You have not. You have so distorted that which is so meaningful. Let's turn to number 497. Brings us then to number 5. We looked at the distortion here in 1 Corinthians 11. But following along, starting at verse 23, Paul gives us number 5, what I call our observance. Our observance. When we come, why do we come? What's it about? What is it that ought to be significant in our hearts and minds? We pick up at verse 23 after he said, I'm not about to praise you for the way you have distorted this in the previous verses. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show, and that word show means proclaim, the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore? Because of that significance, Paul says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily or in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And Paul said then, for this cause, what I've just mentioned, those that approach the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, for this cause, he said, many are weak and sickly among you. He was writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, here's why some of you are sick. And then he even adds, and many of you sleep. That doesn't mean on a certa sleeper. That means what? Some have died because they have so distorted the observance of the Lord's table. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Yes, our observance is to be with a proper heart attitude. Eating and drinking in a worthy manner, not hiding sin, not pretending that everything is okay when we know it's not, but coming with proper appreciation for the body that was given, the blood that was shed, and we do it with thankful remembrance of Him. Let's sing number 311.